You have questions you can't wait to ask God. I sure do. Do you wish there was some way you could hear God explain the mysteries of life and of death? Do you wish you knew more about what heaven is like? There are so many things we mortals wish we knew about the divine. We ask ourselves why this happens and why this doesn't happen. God, talk to us. We have the Bible and all that it tells us about God and about life after death, but there is much we do not understand. There are some things we don't want to accept. The more we think about it, the more questions we have. As C.S. Lewis journaled his pain after his beloved wife's death from cancer, he wrote, "Can a mortal ask questions which God finds unanswerable? Quite easily, I should think. All nonsense questions are unanswerable. How many hours are there in a mile? Is yellow square or round?" Probably half the questions we ask, half our great theological problems are like that. Theology. It's called the science of religion, and yet we know that science is the method by which things can be proved or as true or not true. Theology is the study of God and of God's relationship to humanity, and our relationship with the creator of all that exists is based on faith. So theology is our human attempt to make sense of who God is, but it actually seems to me quite haughty for human beings to believe that they can think their way into knowing God. And yet, I spent years studying in a theological school in order to prepare to be a pastor. Think about it. What can we know about God except what God reveals to us? Probably half the questions we ask, C.S. Lewis said, half our great theological problems are unanswerable questions. Yet Lewis spent his lifetime writing to help others understand God. An amazing Christian leader, theologian, and the author of the Narnia series, as well as many other books, Lewis published his unanswerable questions for God, his doubts about God, his crisis of belief, in a book titled A Grief Observed. Anyone, I think, suffering the grief of the death of a loved one can relate to the asking of unanswerable questions. When we are children, it's natural to believe. Little children don't see life as complicated, but rather assume the best in all things. As we grow from childhood into adulthood, our faith tends to want explanations in order for us to completely trust in a loving God. You've heard it said that the more we learn, the less we know. Actually, that saying began as long ago as Socrates, who said, "The more I learn, the more I learn how little I know." Perhaps that is why Jesus told his disciples that those who do not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Knowing is not the answer to our human dilemma. Trusting is the answer. A children's book I own uses scriptural references to talk about heaven. I want to share with you the thoughts of the author who wrote this book. In the foreword, she writes these words. "There was a story told to me of a little boy, only 3.5 years old. This little boy was determined to talk to his new baby brother alone. After much urging and insistence and pleading, the parents agreed and left the two little fellows alone. But being curious parents, they slipped back into their bedroom and eavesdropped over the nursery monitor. They heard their son make his way to the crib, and then they heard him say clearly, 'Tell me about heaven. I think I'm forgetting.' When I heard this story," the author writes, "I was filled with awe and amazement. In their newness of life, children still carry so much innocence and sweetness that I began to wonder if it is possible for them to have some recollection of being in heaven, of perhaps dancing with the angels. I don't know where our souls are formed, whether it is here on earth or in heaven. This book is not intended to define what paradise is or to be fact. Rather, it is a wondering about our God, a wondering about the greatest creator of all time and space, who knits us together in the intimate seclusion of our mother's womb. Would he also design us with enough of a remembrance of a haven so rich and good that we yearn for that sweet perfection just around the corner of our lifetime? Think back to when you were a child. Can you remember your faith at that time? When you were told good news about God, you believed it. You didn't need explanations. You just knew that the stories about Jesus were true. You felt it in your soul. You trusted that you were cared for. You already knew that you were dependent, so it was easy to accept your dependence upon God. You only had to learn, not unlearn. You only had to do, not undo. I recently discovered a song heard on a Christian radio station, and I want to share it with you in the hope that it speaks to you as it has to me. The singer is having a conversation with God. Let's listen in. Adults, in our growing up, have we given up on trust? Has cynicism taken over our thoughts? Has doubt replaced faith? Is hope missing in our days? Do you want to go back to the time when all you needed was the assurance that Jesus loved you? Period. Jesus loved you. After all, the Bible told you so. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples wanted to know. And Jesus took a little child into his arms, and much like we would take a baby and snugly, securely wrap our arms around the child, and Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself modeled the child relationship to his Father in heaven with his use of the name Abba for God. The word Abba means daddy. Not father, not even the name an older child uses, dad. But the little one's name for the one who cares for him, daddy. This name Abba that Jesus used for God is unparalleled in Jewish literature. A well-known 20th century theologian, Jeremias, comments on the actions and words of Jesus while holding a child by saying, "If you do not learn to say Abba, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." To become like a child is to become as teachable as children. To enter the kingdom, one must learn all over again what it means to be helplessly dependent on a parent with a capital P. A parent who can be trusted to the uttermost as no human parent can be. To enter the kingdom, we are radically dependent solely on the amazing grace of the Father. There is nothing we are able to do to earn Christ's love. We are like a baby who will be nourished only if someone brings us food. We will be clean only if someone washes us. We will be safely protected only if someone takes care of us. And that someone is God. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And Jesus took the children up into his arms, laid his hand on them, and blessed them. Friends, can you be as trusting as a baby and believe that Jesus is always there ready to bless you? A Syrian journalist photographer was so disturbed by the results that she saw of the war in her homeland, the destruction of property and the death of families all around her, that she moved to Turkey and opened an orphanage for the children of Syria, many of whom had literally seen a parent killed in that war. When she was interviewed by 60 Minutes, she was asked how these children in the orphanage cope with the horrors that they have witnessed and lived through. She said, "I think God has given something extra to these children that adults don't have, a spirit of forgiveness. In these little ones whose lives have been devastated as victims of an adult war, she saw them trusting still that Jesus is blessing them." Can we go back, we wonder? Can we really go back to be as trusting as a child? The question reminds me of Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus. Jesus told him that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus asked one of those unanswerable questions, how can anyone be born after having grown old? And Jesus answers, and it seems to be with a bit of exasperation at the question. Jesus said, what is born of flesh is flesh. And what is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. Karl Barth, often regarded as the greatest Protestant theologian of the 20th century and a prolific writer, Barth emphasized the sovereignty of God, the sinfulness of humanity, and the infinite qualitative distinction between God and humankind. His theology impacted the German Confessing Church, which spoke out against the Nazi regime and still influences theological thought to this very day. But a simple statement he once allegedly spoke has made the greatest impact on me. At the end of a lecture on his one and only visit to America in 1962, a student asked him if he could summarize his whole life's work in theology into one sentence. And Barth said, "Yes, I can. In the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Do you want to go back? Back to those days when all you really needed to know was and to trust in was that Jesus does indeed love you? I admit to having a reputation of loving children's books, and I confess it's true, for in books written and illustrated for little ones, there are often the deepest of truths. As today we remember with love all who now see God face to face in the heavenly realms, I'd like to share with you the words of one of my favorite books. These are the words. Question. What happens to the trees in your yard when winter comes? Answer, they lose their leaves and their bare branches look dead. But deep inside them, even though you can't see it, is life, just waiting for warm, sunny spring to wake up and bloom. People are like that. Usually, they live a long, happy time. But after many, many, many years, their bodies wear out, and they die, like leaves in the winter. Have you ever wondered, do people disappear from everywhere and everything just because we can't see them or touch them? We know they're gone from their homes. We know they don't eat or talk or breathe anymore. But Christians believe that even though their bodies stop working, their souls still are wonderfully, radiantly alive. What's a soul? It's the real you, deep inside you, like your mind. You can't see your soul or hear it or hold it, but you know it's there because it makes you laugh and love and believe in God and get goosebumps on Easter when your choir choruses joyfully, "Jesus is risen." Christians believe that God wants us with him forever. He even sent his son Jesus to earth to tell us. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter to show us that death is not the end of everything. Jesus also promised that he would prepare a beautiful place close to him for our souls after our bodies die. That's the most exciting promise ever. No wonder Christians smile and look happy. So even though you feel sad and lonely when someone you love dies and you cry, loving family and friends will come from near and far to share a memorial service where you celebrate the life of the person who is gone. And after a while, the sadness that you feel will go away, crowded out by happy memories and Jesus' promise that all of us are cradled in God's loving arms, growing and blooming in the beauty of a spring that will never end. The end? No, the beginning. We want to see the next slide. Yeah, beautiful. Dear friends, may you feel Christ's arms around you, cradling you like a small child, blessing you as only Jesus can, and assuring you of God's love that never, ever ends. Amen.